Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Sobriety. Moving further every day. Plenty of young cats still got affection for real spitters. Hair of the dog got good reason to feel bitter. Plenty of real bigots burn bridges and meal tickets. I ain't gotta be specific. You feel me if you live it. And if you live it, you don't finish. You're not a gimmick. The pinnacle steady.
Well, good morning, Clinton.
Good morning, Leslie.
It's really early on Sunday.
Institutions all classes, races. That's why I'm off my cash is clicking.
Try that again. Hey, guess what? Time for Homegrown, your only show in Charlottesville dedicated to local arts. And so technically proficient.
We are. We are killing it.
Killing it and thrilling it. Like the villain in it.
Oh wow.
I don't know. Brought to you by the Blue Moon Diner. These are your hosts. Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones, David the Von Strawn, the DVS-1, again, the day job takes him away from us. Evil, evil day job, except in the fact that it lets him, you know, pay his bills, but keeps him away. We hope to have the DVS-1 back next week. For now, you're stuck. You're stuck.
Wait, stuck? Wait a minute. Don't say stuck. You're not stuck with us.
Well, not certainly not with you. You are a light and a delight.
I don't know. You have a very nice aura over there. You're a light.
A nice aura?
Yes.
I'm a black hole.
Oh, stop it.
I'm a seeping chasm of darkness.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm not sure how to combat that.
It's difficult.
It's yeah.
It's a rough one, that one. How are you this morning, Leslie?
I am sleepy, and if you can't tell, I have this frog thing going on.
I could tell that.
And yeah. Yelling at Will every night is just it's taken its toll. But it's darn fun.
Well, good. I'm glad that you're enjoying yourself.
Seriously, what is it about every time I'm in a straight show, and in that show my character is married, the husband turns out to be just a piece of you know what? Like what? Every single one. My husband has been a deadbeat. Well, I mean, absolutely okay. Adorable. Adorable. Nice to look at. Easy on the eyes. But a deadbeat nonetheless.
So I think there are two answers to that.
Okay. The first one.
The first one is nobody really writes plays about happy marriages.
Okay. I'll give you that one.
That's just like that.
And the second.
That's a 5-minute play right there. Hello, dear. How are you? I'm fine, dear. How was your day? Oh, it was great. How was yours? Wonderful. You feeling good? I'm feeling great. Love you. Love me. Love you. Love you. Loving me. Love me. Love you. Let's go have sex and plan about how our son is going to get into Yale, the Skull and Bone Society, Goldman Sachs, and then run the country. Okay. And
well, that ain't
scene.
Well, that ain't
the end,
and that
right.
Definitely ain't no black play. That's for sure.
Exactly. That's a sure. Yeah. And so that's a theory. We're not getting cast in those roles.
Right. Right. They made for us.
So yeah, I think there are reasons behind that.
Yes. Reasons.
Reasons. See the plays. Yeah. Those plays, they're not going to have. They're not going to have the reasons.
I'm very proud of myself that I could hit that note this morning.
I am quite surprised.
Oh goodness gracious!
Maybe we should turn to our first guest.
Yes, because she's probably a lot more alert than I am. She's got more to say.
That's
I swear.
A lot of pressure.
No pressure, Miller. No pressure.
Coming on Homegrown for the first time. I can't believe it's the first time, but coming on Homegrown for the first time. Welcome, Miller Murray Susan.
Thank you so much for having me.
How are you guys? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you. And I'm still waiting to hear what the second reason is that...
Right? That all my husbands are deadbeats?
That's right.
Two words. Typecasting.
Oh, snap.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And the thing is, that's not even a snap to me. Like, that's just a snap
just
to...
a universal snap.
That is a universal snap that, like, to seriously, like, one of your friends. Like,
yeah. Like, and really to all women in the theater. Yeah. Women in theater, why is right? your theatrical husband always,
always
a deadbeat?
A deadbeat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They and all of them did the same thing. All of them cheated.
They do.
Oh, all of them.
They're just cheating.
This is the first one that brought a baby home. But,
oh,
you know.
Yep. Speaking of theatrical deadbeats, actually, this segues very nicely.
That's a dangerous segue.
Right, right.
What about theatrical deadbeats,
well,
Miller?
where theatrical deadbeats are astral bigamists, the show I am currently directing is Four County Players.
Can I just say, can that be my hip hop name? The Astral Bigamist.
I know, right? It's just ripe for.
Yo, this is Clinton Johnston, the Astral Bigamist.
Oh my God. Yes, sweetie, that can
be
your.
I can move to Utah. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry. Ooh. I'm sorry for every LDS person, because we have so many LDS fans.
We do.
Listening to our show. So many.
Dedicated population here.
Dedicated. The local LDS church actually just stops their services every Sunday just
to listen to us.
Just to play it.
Of course they do.
Of course they do.
Of course they do.
Anyway, speaking of astral bigamists.
Yeah, yes. I'd love to. Thank you.
Blythe Spirit.
Yes, I'm directing Blythe Spirit out at Four County Players, which opens this coming Friday.
I love the laugh.
May 5th.
I love the laugh is what made that.
Born
right there.
Ready. Born ready. So, yeah.
No gang signs.
Oh, sorry. Well, it's on the radio, so.
There you go.
Nobody can see my.
And we're unable to live stream today, so we can do, like,
secret
stuff.
Oh, okay,
stuff.
So go ahead and throw them up. Okay, so for
so
those...
enough with these clothes.
Woo, Clinton, oh my. So for those who don't know the plot of Blythe Spirit, what is Blythe Spirit about?
So Blythe Spirit is set in 1940s England, Britain, in the countryside. It concerns a couple, Charles and Ruth Condamine. Ruth is Charles's second wife. Charles is a novelist, and he's working on, he needs material for his newest opus.
Although apparently marriage is not novel to him.
Very nice. Very nice. So he hits upon the idea of having a seance to gather material for a novel about, I don't know if it's like a murderous medium or something. But he basically invites a medium over because he thinks seances are all fake. And he's going to sort of get some of the tricks of the trade to add some spice and flavor to his narrative. So they have a dinner party where they invite another couple, and they invite Madame Arcati over. Played on Broadway by Angela Lansbury, played
yes.
in our production by Kate Monahan, who really gives Angela Lansbury a run for her money.
I'm
Let
sure
me
she
tell you.
Does.
Oh, she's amazing.
Yeah, love Kate.
So good. So anyway, as it turns out, oh, surprise, Madame Arcati is
real.
The real deal. And in fact, they, by accident, conjure up the spirit of Charles's first wife, Elvira, who died young, choking on laughter. She was recouping from pneumonia and choked on laughter listening to one of the BBC radio programs and had a heart attack. This is so.
But, sure.
Sure.
That's
because
a plausible
that's
death. Yeah, of course.
What happened to her. So anyway, so then the end comedy ensues, basically.
And comedy. So yes. Now Charles has two wives.
Charles has two wives. And only Charles can see and hear Elvira.
And that's comedy gold.
Right? That's right. Yes.
Now we're set.
That's right.
Now we're off.
And then there's a twisted tale to the ending, but I will, spoiler alert, tell you this. Everyone's fan and no one learns anything.
Oh, all right. So it's,
well, it's
just
English.
Like real life.
That's right. It's very
just
realistic.
Just like real life.
It's farce, but it's not that farcy.
Right?
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
could be way farcier.
English Farce by Noel Coward. This is one of the classics of English theater, and thus one of the classics of American theater.
That's right. One of the longest running. When it opened on the West End, it was the longest running show in history.
Really?
On the West End, yes.
Wow.
And interestingly, so it opened during World War II, and it concerns kind of mocking the spirit world or making fun of people dying. I mean, sort of. And so, you know, some of the critics on opening night were like, this is really unpleasant and what a weird time. You know, almost everyone in the audience had probably lost at least one person close to them during the war.
Right,
and so
right.
It was sort of an unlikely success, but the tone of it and the black humor of it perfectly suited the mood.
Yeah.
And so it was very successful.
Well, they needed something to laugh at that point.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, which leads to another question. So why now? Why Blythe Spirit?
Well, apparently it's one of the most requested shows at Four County. So
you're joking.
Yes.
Seriously?
Yeah, and they did a production of it. I think Gary said it was Gary White, who's the production manager, I think said it was 32 or 33 years ago that they last did Blythe Spirit. And every season when they're planning their seasons, they get tons of requests for it. People love this show. So they put it on the season. I know.
I never would have guessed that.
I mean, I know. So,
wow.
Yeah. But it has been really fun to work on. And I have to say, not making assumptions about the political persuasions of your listeners, but I personally was in a dark place when we started rehearsals for this show, and it's been just so much fun to work on a comedy. You know, it's like laugh therapy. You sit there and laugh for 3 hours, and you drive home, and you're like, I think everything's going to be okay, right? Turns out, everything's okay. Yeah. So it's been a lot of fun. It's a great cast, and a lot of nice personalities, hard workers. I often work with kids and teens.
Yeah.
So it's been fun to work with adults because I'm like, okay, guys, I'm going to get started. And they're all like, okay.
Right.
I'm like, wait.
Wait, I didn't have to say that
so
15 times?
That's
wait.
It?
You're actually ready?
So I'm like, so you guys off book for this scene? They're like, yeah. I'm like, oh, cool. Well, great. Good then.
Because
you should be.
Right.
That's exactly right. Wonderful.
And crap, I was expecting that you weren't going to be, and I was going to have to move to something else, which I had actually prepared for. Okay.
Not to throw shade on kids and teens who have incredible capacity
for
work.
They are what they are in terms of working.
But in terms of keeping order and sort of moving forward and being productive, I mean, these rehearsals have been truly eye-opening for me.
Aww.
And really enjoyable. So.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So you're going to head back to working with teens anytime
soon? Oh, yeah. That's apparently my specialty. I don't know. My lot in life. I'm not really sure. I have a teen now and a preteen as well. And it's a wonderful time in life. It's an interesting, I mean, people are at their most kind of vulnerable and open and emotional and incredible to work with in all of those ways when they're teens. So it's very rewarding as well. But yeah, you definitely.
Yeah, they're just crazy.
Yeah, they're just crazy.
They're just crazy. Seriously. I mean, the alien enters their bodies somewhere around 11. And, you know, it doesn't leave until like 22, exercise. 23.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
That's just.
Yeah.
It's
or
just
for some
how
people
it happens.
Never. As we were. Touching on her. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's yeah, they're just crazy.
Yeah, they're just crazy.
They're just crazy.
Yeah.
And adults are crazy in a different way.
It's really true. Although I have very sane adults in this particular cast. Hey, cast.
Yes.
Shout out to my cast.
Yes. Who is in the play?
So, Claire McGurk Chandler is playing Ruth Condamine.
Oh, Claire.
And,
Claire's great.
Love is Claire.
Great and so, so funny. Has incredible physical work. I mean, she's wonderful in general, but she just nails Ruth's like physicality. Chris Balmer is playing Charles Condamine.
Mm-hmm. One of our guest hosts, Chris.
That's,
and he is
that's so
of course, like hilarious.
Let's see,
and amazing.
A writer who likes to drink. Who do we get for that part? I don't know.
And in fact, Elvira is like, it's something about your personality, Charles. You have a certain seedy grandeur. I was like, oh, Chris Palmer.
Yeah. There you go. That's cast. All right, next.
Yeah. Tiffany Smith is playing Elvira. Mm-hmm. And she has, one of the reasons I thought of asking her to audition is because I saw her performance in this year's 24/7, where she was cast in a two-person play.
Yes.
Where she was played sort of a princess. I can't remember.
Yeah.
It's Maria.
She was the sister who was an English sister,
right.
Like debutante who was
right.
Who had fallen in love with somebody
set a trap for the sister's fiance. Anyway, and she had to bust out a bunch of different accents because she also went into disguise as a French maid.
Yes.
So anyway, I knew that she could handle this kind of comedy, that she had a great accent, which she totally does.
Yeah.
And was a hilarious person.
So yeah.
She's all those things and more.
So are you doing the show with accents?
We are using accents, yes.
Wow. So what's the accent work been like?
Well, Carol Patterson has kindly helped us with dialect coaching, and she's been an enormous help to us. Everybody's pretty much, you know, upper class British, except for Edith, the maid, who's played by Linda Zuby. And Linda already had a good Cockney, so.
There you go.
No sweat. Yeah. And then the cast is rounded out by Sharif Subra, who's playing Dr. Bradman. And I'm laughing because I was giving notes and I mistakenly called him Mr. Bradman. He's like, excuse me, no. Doctor. Okay.
All right.
All right.
Wow. We really like our character, don't we?
And ourselves. Barbara Roberts is playing Mrs. Bradman. So they are an adorable couple, very funny. I can't say enough about how enjoyable it's.
Well, that's a large cast.
Yeah, seven people. But the bulk of the line work falls to the two wives and Charles, and Madame Arcadi has several beefy scenes as well. So, yeah. So we're now at the point where they're off book, but they have moments of tenuous off bookness, and it's a lot of lines. It's so much dialogue. So we have our work cut out for us this final week, polishing everything. But I think it's going to be great.
So what are your thoughts on these plays that are? I mean, because all plays have dialogue. All plays, the language is a significant component. But actually, you know what? I want to ask you about that when we get back from a break. We're going to do just a little bit of a drop, if only the devious one were here.
I know.
To do our drops.
And my throat will not allow me to do that noise that he does.
He will be back. He will return.
Yes. Love you, David.
19 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art. And if you're just joining us, we're here with Miller Murray Susan from Four County Players, where they are just about to launch their production, their much wanted production. And soon to be much vaunted production. Is that even a word?
I think yes. I'm gonna go with yes.
Okay, there you go. Blithe Spirit by Mr. Noel Coward.
By Noel Coward.
Coward, classic, but Coward, wordy. What do you think about these wordy plays?
Well, we've had our struggles. Famously Noel Coward wrote Blithe Spirit in a 6-day spree. His office had been bombed in the Blitz, and he went with a friend at the Blitz of London during World War II, and he went with a friend to a seaside town in Wales, and from 7:30 in the morning until 5:00 in the afternoon, with an hour's break for lunch, he wrote Blithe Spirit in 6 days. They spent the first day of vacation kind of hammering out the plot. And then starting the next day, he just started writing. So I believe I'm correct in saying he played Charles in the original production. So he famously said that when they started rehearsals, they only cut two lines of his work. Like
so he wrote
the perfect play. Perfectly, and they only ever cut two lines from it. So
he played him in the original?
Indeed he did. And in fact, he also toured with the show. He came to America in this role as well. So
Wow.
Yeah. And which has been instructive. I don't know that Chris Baumer has spent a whole lot of time studying Noel Coward, but you can watch him talk about the play online and really get a sense of, I think the character was closely based on Noel Coward's proclivities. I wouldn't say his life experience is necessary.
he is a fascinating character, and he's not just a fascinating person, but he's also a fascinating event in English theater. I think some people may have heard of Noel Coward, but I think especially here, and maybe in Britain today, I don't know, but I think a lot of people don't realize what a powerhouse he was, like how huge he was.
He really was a huge celebrity. He also wrote music. He was a very famous performer, actor, and he started as an actor. And as many actors do, discovered that the best way to have a great part is to write it yourself. So,
yeah.
And turns out he was awfully good at writing, so that worked out well for him. So the language has definitely been a challenge. It is beautiful. We love every word, but we have done some trimming. Not a whole lot, because again, like, part of the reason you're going to see an Noel Coward show, it's kind of like Shakespeare. It's like you may need to cut it, but you need to be very judicious, because there are lines that people expect to hear if they know the play, and the beauty of the language has its own internal logic that you don't want to screw up. But there's a fair amount of repetition, and sometimes, I don't know, there were parts where for comedy's sake, a couple of the jokes he would just hammer and hammer, and you're like, okay, like by the third time I think we pretty much
got it.
We can just get to the point.
we can move on.
Yeah. So we did a little trimming, but it's still we're still down to the point where the cast is off book and they're realizing that they have the same kinds of lines over and over and over again. And so it can be tricky, like the same line, like, "Charles, I won't stand for it anymore." And then she's got to say, "I won't stand for it, Charles, this is too much. Charles, it's too much, and I won't stand for it anymore." You know, and she's doing the same basic thing, like, again and again and again, but in slightly different variations. So,
oh, yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun to memorize.
It's a memorization challenge.
Yeah.
I think they are rising to it, though. They are up for the challenge.
Well, I mean, you put together a really great cast. You put together
so
a cast
fortunate.
Of, like, I mean, pros,
Superstars,
really.
Superstars, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
And so this week, what we're really concentrating on is getting the runtime down by picking up the pace.
Yeah. Faster.
Faster. As George Lucas apparently said to Carrie Fisher, the only direction he gave her on the original Star Wars was faster and more intense.
Really?
So I've been saying to the cast,
somehow that doesn't surprise me.
I'm going to channel George Lucas here and say faster and more intense. That's it. That's all we need to do now, because everything otherwise, it's pretty good.
I think my favorite direction from a director, and it was actually in college. We were working on a scene. We finished it. And of course, you know, we both turned to him and, you know, we're waiting patiently, and he sat there for a moment, and he thought, and he goes, "Yeah, suck less." yeah, sure, we'll
get right on that.
We'll get right on that. Thanks.
Yeah, Tiffany,
that was awesome.
Was making fun of my, well, in the kindest of ways, was making fun of one of my. I had gone off on a like directorial kind of flight of imaginative, like, I was like, and then I want for this to feel, and you should bring a note of what, and she's like, so I think what you're telling me is I should act here. I'm like, yes. If you could do some acting, that would be very helpful.
That's
for
awesome.
This particular part. Yeah. So, I'm a super good director, guys. Super good.
That's awesome.
And I will say that I've not, you know, I've directed, this is probably the fifth or sixth show that I've directed, but this is the first show of this particular nature. Like, it's not something that I've often directed my own work.
Uh-huh.
So this is obviously not my own work, and, with a full production, like often when I direct teens, and we do sort of black box style. So to have, you know, all these people wanting, like, was the sound cue good? I'm like, yes, it is. what do you want for the lights here? I'm like, light would be good. I like lights. Lights are good. So if you could turn lights on, that would be great. So the production side for me is it's a wonderful opportunity for me because I'm learning so much, but it's definitely not something I have a ton of knowledge about. So, yeah.
Well, welcome to the deeper end of the pool.
Exactly.
Yes. I just realized we've got like three directors in the room.
Do we?
Yeah.
I guess we do.
Yeah, indeed.
We've got three directors in the room.
We should all suck less. Actor directors.
Yes, three and actor directors in the room.
It's just the theater.
I know.
Don't all actors really want to direct? I really have an ambition to rename this part of the show theater.
Welcome to Theater Coffee Clash. Just going to talk theater for a moment.
Yeah. Well, you know.
The Holy Roman Empire.
After the Romans, comedy was sucking. After that, it just
really took
went
a dive.
Down.
It took a dive.
Oh, my God.
Plautus, that was a writer.
Then no coward. And now today. I don't even know who like a current comic playwright would be.
I just love the idea of listeners right now, you know, going in front of Wikipedia to try to make sense of that last set of humor.
Yes.
They sounded like they thought it was funny.
Yeah.
What are they talking about?
It's only funny to theater people. Sorry.
Miller, thank you very much for
thank
coming on Homegrown.
Thank you so much for having me, and I hope you will be able to make it. May weekends are busy.
I already have tickets for opening night.
Fabulous.
Give us the what, where, when, so that people know.
So you can get tickets online. There is an online ticketing situation at www.fourcp.org. Or you can call the box office, and the exact number should be in front of me because I should have prepared, but it is not. However, you can go on the website, which is, again, www.fourcp.org, and that has the all the ticketing information. Easy. You can call. There's a real human in the box office if you need to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
They get the exact, like...
Speak to Ro. Yeah, she's awesome.
Go call Ro. She'll set you up with a good seat. There are, of course, concessions, and it's a lovely place to spend an evening. So
cool. And how long is the show running for?
The show is running until May 21st. So it's three weekends. It's nine performances, Friday and Saturday nights at 8 and Sunday afternoons at 2:30, including Mother's Day. I'm just putting that out there. It might be a really nice thing to do on a Sunday Mother's Day. Have a little brunch action. Laugh all afternoon.
That sounds like a lovely idea.
Mm-hmm. And for the men out there, you can set yourself up for the inevitable question. Honey, if I die, would you hold a seance to bring me back?
That's literally a question that gets asked in Blind Spirit. She's like, I hope you'd be sad if I died. And he's like,
right?
Oh, Ruth, dear. How silly.
Nice.
Of course, Ruth, dear.
Of course.
You know, actually, what he says is, you won't die. You're not the dying sort. Noel Coward. So
Noel. So droll.
Exactly. Droll Noel. So come on out and see it. It's wonderful. I'm sure people will enjoy watching it as much as we've enjoyed putting it together. At least that's the idea.
Excellent. Well, I think we're all looking forward to
an
evening of laughter.
It sounds really good.
Who couldn't use one?
I can't wait.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me, guys. And thank you for getting your tickets for opening.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Bye.
30 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This, of course, is Homegrown. We should talk about some of the artistic events that are coming up.
We should do that. Let's do that.
Do you want to do that?
Sure, we can do that.
All right. Do that.
All right, it's your last chance to see the Sky's Limits paintings by Jeanette Cohen, curated by our former guest, Leslie Ava Shaw, at Loving Cup Vineyard, opening your last chance for Fluvanna's Persimmon Tree Players presenting Southern Fried Funeral at the Carysbrook Performing Arts Center in Fork Union. And it today, people, today at 2 p.m., it's your last chance to see Fences at the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center. Shows at 2, be there, be square. Currently running June 30th, Dallas photographer Janine Mika-Bales exhibits her new collection, Through Darkness to Light, photographs along the Underground Railroad at the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center. May 13th, The Realistic Joneses at Live Arts. Gee, I think we talked to them about that. Tonight, Wild Virginia presents the Wild and Scenic Film Festival, a selection of films that tell stories about our planet at the Visualite Cinemas in Stanton. May 3rd, 10 a.m. sees Fun for the Young Glynnis Welt at UVA's Fralin Art Museum. Arts related story time led by Gordon Avenue's Children's Library's Glynnis Welt, while museum docents encourage kids to engage with museum exhibitions. Also May 3rd, 2:30 p.m., it's the Fralin Art Museum's Eyes on Art tour that engages people with Alzheimer's in meaningful discussions about art. That sounds really cool. They may not remember it, though.
Oh.
Sorry. May 4th, the next title for the Jefferson Madison Regional Library and Champion Bury Books on Tap series is Family Life by Akhil Sharma. The next one is Nick Redding's Methland, The Death and Life of an American Small Town on June 1st. May 4th through 14th. What? Vicknitz Spring Awakening at Gorilla Theater.
Vedekins.
Vedekins? Okay, well, you've got pronunciations here, and I'm just... Okay, moving on. May 5th, First Fridays, works by Steve Miller and Kristen Stoll at Second Street Gallery. May 6th, guided tour of Indigenous Australian art at the Klugiru Aboriginal Art Collection. That sounds really cool. I'm going to go to that. Auditions for Rocky Horror Show at Shannon Arts on May 7th. Oh, my God. And your musical options for this week.
This afternoon, the Judy Chops, Josh Mayo, Rashi Mau, and DJ Supersonic perform at Robert Wolfong's Celebration of Life and Memorial Benefit at 2 p.m. at the Ante Room. Also this afternoon, the UVA Wind Ensemble and Concert Band have a joint concert at 3:30 at Old Cabell Hall. Also this afternoon, Help Me Helen at 4 p.m. at James River Brewery. Tomorrow, What About the Kids, Caves and Clouds, and Caleb Einwechter play at the Ante Room. May 3rd at noon, UVA jazz groups get together in Jazz for the Amphitheater at Old Cabell Hall. On the 4th, Waynesboro's Heritage on Main invites local musicians to play science fiction-related music for their May the 4th Be With You show. Oh, yeah. Also on May the 4th, Michael Ellsworth Gathering, and then Solar Hearts at Bellini's. May the 5th, Nefarious Characters, Fanciful Animals, and Tequila Mockingbird. Play Funky First Friday Dance Party at the Vila Sports Bar and Ultra Lounge. Faster Than Walking is at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub, and Pale Blue Dot is at the Ante Room. Of course, also on May the 5th, the George Taylor Group from Goochland is at the Whiskey Jar. Boom! Hip-hop, jazz, classical, ballet, and tap. It's the Wilson School of Dance annual spring performance at the Martin Luther King Jr. Performing Arts Center on May the 6th. Also on May the 6th, the Front Porch Roots Music School Spring Block Party and Music Sale at 221 East Water Street. May the 6th has got Jim Wave at 2:30 p.m. at Albemarle Cider Works, Alex Kevin and Friends at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub, and the Pollux at Batesville Market. Also Robert Dick, Stephen Nachmanovich, and Robert Jospe at UVA Brooks Hall. And on May the 6th, John Dearth at Fellini's. And those are just some of the artistic events that are available to us in this wonderful artistic town. If you're an artistic person and want us to talk about your artistic crap,
artistic crap? Wait. Back that up.
No.
Oh my God.
With the boom boom bap.
If you would like us to promote what you are offering to this wonderful artistic landscape we call the Ville,
then tell us about it. You can send it to us at our handy dandy email address. What is our name? 947 homegrown. Homegrown 947 at gmail.com.
You forgot our email.
I was sitting here and I was looking at at the URL for the WPVC website, and it threw me off. But say our email address, 947WPVC.org.
No, wait a minute. That's
not the email address.
That's not it.
What is that?
What are we doing?
Contradictory signals in my face.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
which is usually the description of my dates. Well,
really? Are we going there?
Went. Gone.
Oh, okay.
Gone right. There.
Okay.
Been there. Did that.
Mm. That's what she said. Sorry. You opened the door for that one. I could not help but walk in. You opened it so nicely, too. It was,
I'm not complaining.
You stepped back. It was
great. I'm not complaining. What? I don't give a crap. Let's do a drop.
Okay.
This is Graham Slayton, and you're listening to Homegrown.
Let's do that drop again.
Why? This is Graham Slayton, and you're listening to Homegrown.
I don't know. What?
For the past 27 years, Market Street Wine's been passionate about matching carefully selected wines and beers to your needs. Whether you're looking for the perfect food pairing or an afternoon delight, we'll take it to a new level. Frequent tastings at two locations means you're always close by. MarketStreetWine.com for locations, hours, and tasting schedules. Or you can call us at 434-979-9463.
37 minutes past the hour, you're listening to 947 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This is Homegrown. Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Sean McCord. His guest today, Assistant Commonwealth Attorney Joe Plataria, speaking about crime and punishment in Charlottesville. Crime and punishment.
Crime and punishment.
Law and order.
Not just one or the other. Both.
Order and oppression. The jackbooted foot of the man.
Oh.
That's the discussion.
That's what's coming up.
Coming up. Coming up like a white cop on an unsuspecting African-American who's just trying.
I had that experience last night, so don't.
Yeah.
I'm having flashbacks.
And you're still here?
I know. I am so, so surprised. Yes.
You've lost black points there. Let me tell you.
I know. I'm really not sure what happened. I think he was just, I don't know, practicing being a human last night. It was pleasant last night at 2:30 as I'm driving home.
This is Homegrown, your show about local art, brought to you by the Blue Moon Diner. Blue Moon Diner, breakfast all day, every day with brunch on Saturdays and Sundays, and carefully constructed diner food on the weekday afternoons and evenings. And speaking of evenings.
Yes, Clinton, what's going on at Blue Moon?
Blue Moon is nice enough to provide a venue for local and visiting artists this week on Wednesday. Jim Wave doing the country like they did it before country was cool. Thursday, it's Bill Adams. Friday, Luca Dora Acustica. All there, Blue Moon Diner at 512 West Main Street. Blue Moon Diner. It's a place.
Luca Dora Acustica?
Luca Dora Acustica.
Are they from out of town? Or are they?
No. We've talked about them before. And that, in fact, they're frequent guests at the Blue Moon Diner. They are local groups.
Cool.
We don't announce non-local groups.
Well, I just...
We don't announce non-local groups. They can just...
Oh, sorry. I never heard that name before, wow. Okay.
All right.
Apparently, I was just, sleeping when that happened. I don't know. God, I wish I could sleep. Can I please sleep?
No, because we have to go to our next guest.
All right, so we are here with our next guest, Alice Lehman, and she's here to talk about the 28th annual Box Lunch Concert Series at Christ Episcopal Church on 2nd Street. So, Alice, what got this started?
Well, it started back 28 years ago, which I believe was 1989, and I was at Christ Church at that point, and one of the ministers suggested that at a previous church they had had a program that they called Box Lunch. And we were sort of looking to have an outreach concert program anyway. It seemed like a great idea at the time. And it stuck for 28 years, annually every May, for the Thursdays in the month of May, noontime concerts for 30 minutes.
That's awesome. So you have, so there are live performances of different groups, right? It's a different group every Thursday?
It is. Some of the same groups have repeated year after year. Most are local musicians, but we also have started having people request to perform from out of town, and we've accepted their offers.
Yeah, that's great. So, so how much reaction from the community have you gotten from this? Because, I mean, I love classical music, and I sang in choir, so that was my intro into it. So I'm not, I don't have that, that thing where you're scared of it, but that's what happens. You know, people hear classical music and they're like, oh, I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know what's going on there. I'm not going to do that. So what has been the response to these lunches?
Well, we've tried to make them interesting and accessible to lots of people. It's not all serious classical music.
Mm-hmm.
We started out aiming to have all music by Bach, and you might have noticed it's the name of it is a pun.
Yes.
Box, B-A-C-H, apostrophe S, lunch. And in the early years, all the music on the programs was by Bach, and they were well attended, but over the course of time, we have started probably very little of the music is by Bach anymore. I mean, it can be.
Right.
And it's not all classical either.
Oh, really?
For example, we have our second program this year on May 11th will be Women's Barbershop.
Oh, which, my God.
You know.
Really?
Yes.
Women's Barbershop? That's awesome.
I'm curious about that. So is that group local, or they come in?
They are. They're Skyline Harmony. That's what they call themselves. And they are a group, a subgroup of the Sweet Adelines, which is a national group.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so you got to tell me how in the world you got a women's barbershop choir to come. Like,
well,
how did that happen?
One of the members is actually a member of the church.
Oh, well, that's lucky.
I'm
there you go.
Pretty sure that's how that happened.
Homemade outreach.
Yes.
There you
this
go.
This will be their third time to sing.
Oh, that's great.
In the Box Lunch series.
And so what do they sing? Do they do regular barbershop quartet stuff, or do they branch out into, because I love a cappella groups.
It's more barbershop, but it is has a element of the a cappella too.
Very cool.
Four part women.
Very, very cool. So
I'm just gonna sneak in here really quick. I'm looking at your poster and I see that the first act is classical banjo.
That's right.
I play a very little bit of banjo. And I'm curious about this. What do you know about this?
Well, John Bullard is coming from out of town. He lives in the D.C. area, I believe. And he contacted me, and he is top in his field in banjo. And it's very unique to play classical banjo, though. It's going to be music by the classical composers, and he will speak to each piece. He'll do a little talking about each of the pieces. I think that's going to be a really fun program.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
That's the first one, May 4th.
May 4th.
That's really cool. Okay, so we mentioned, it was mentioned to me earlier that this program was going for a while, and then it stopped, and you guys picked it back up again a couple of years ago. So
what I really think, I'm not sure What really happened is that I left.
Ah.
But I think the box lunches continued. So I was at, I was the founder of the box lunch program at Christ Church in 1989. Then I retired or resigned from there in 1996. And then I have just come back in 2012.
Ah.
But the box lunches have been going.
Oh, that's
all
great.
That time.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So, what, other than, you know, community outreach and, you know, enjoying some really awesome music with friends and family, what's the main goal of doing these box lunches?
Well, other than outreach, it's really an outreach program. That's the number one goal. Not that we are trying to get people to come back on Sunday, although that would be nice, but we're just trying to make our church be open. It's a historic church. It's about to have its 200th anniversary. And it was around in the time of Jefferson.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful facility, beautiful stained glass windows to look at, some of which are by Tiffany. They're Tiffany windows.
Really?
And we got we got a new organ 4 years ago, and we have now started a concert program in October that's just like the box lunch, but it's an organ series on Thursdays in October.
Oh, wow. Ooh, I love organ music. Oh, my God. So what are those? Are they going to be the same kind of arrangement where it's free and open to the public?
Exactly. Local, mostly local organists. But we have had a couple of out-of-towners on mm-hmm. plays. It's been going 3 years. And free concerts at noon in October for 30 minutes. And for both these concert series, people are free to come in and eat their lunch. You can buy a lunch at the door. We started out in the early years, we made homemade lunches.
Right.
But that, it just turned out to be easier.
Right.
to yes. order. And the box lunches we order from Bagby's are very nice.
Oh, yes. So, those are nice lunches. Yeah. So, where can people find out about your concert series and any other community stuff that you guys are doing? Because, I mean, who wouldn't want to go sit down for 30 minutes on their lunch break and listen to some awesome music?
We'd love for everyone to come. The website for the church is christchurchseville.org, and all the information is on there. And we also post on the Charlottesville calendar that people get online.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, Alice, thank you so much for coming and talking to us. This has been great.
Well, thank you for having me.
I actually wish I worked in town so I could come by during the day.
But maybe sometime.
Maybe I'll just take a day off and come out over here.
Yeah, I know. I'm definitely going to make it to this classical banjo.
Okay. I'm going to be looking for you.
Thanks so much, Alice, for coming to talk to us.
Thank you.
Good morning. This is June Heintz. I'm from the Fralin Art Museum, and you're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art, here at 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
49 minutes past the hour. This is Homegrown, show about local art, brought to you by the Blue Moon Diner. Speaking of the Blue Moon Diner, Leslie.
Yes.
You know the big news about the Blue Moon Diner?
Yes, I do.
Is they are coming up on a hiatus. They have a new landlord who's going to do some development around the diner, all up and down and around the diner.
Yeah, I know.
And while that development goes on, the diner's going to
shut down.
They're going to take a hiatus. They're going to close.
But the pancakes.
I know. The
French toast and the Hogwaller hash.
I know, but they'll be back.
Okay, I just...
They'll be back. And you've got most of the month of May, almost the entire month of May.
Okay.
Before that happens. So,
all right. Well, thank goodness.
There you go. Yeah.
We're going to have to, we are going to have one of our famous breakfasts.
I have not waited for you. I hate to say.
You know, really, Clinton?
I'm Blue Moon binging. I'm getting ready for the desert.
I did it without me. You know, you just leave me out of all of the fun things.
Guilty. Guilty as charged.
No remorse whatsoever. What is that about? Seriously?
It's more pancakes for me.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. You know, just because your face is on some of those pancakes doesn't mean that you get to, like...
Not anymore.
I'm sure they still have that one. Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
It's gone.
If I ask for it, I bet you they could do it.
They can't. It's gone.
Everybody, go and ask for the...
No, it's gone. I'm telling you, this is not... Why won't you believe me? These are not alternative facts.
Because I know you,
No, these are not alternative facts. This is a thing. I'm telling you.
I don't believe you.
See, and you wonder why I go and do the fun things without you. And you wonder.
Oh, my God. I'm fun.
If you're fun, you wouldn't be ranting all the time.
Oh, hush. Play my music. Oh, my God. Yeah, play my music.
All right. Now it's time for Leslie's weekly rant. Hold on.
I'm tired of being a third or fourth class citizen. I'm tired of having to explain myself. I'm tired of walking out of my house every day and wondering if this will be the day that I don't come home. I'm tired of being misunderstood. I'm tired of being everyone's depository for their problems, yet when I have something to talk about, there's no one in sight. I'm tired of taking time out of my life for everyone else and never getting that in return. I'm tired. I'm tired of turning on the news to find out how many black bodies were killed that day. I'm tired of being mansplained to. I'm tired of always having to guard what I say depending on who's in the room. I'm tired. I am tired of depending on or expecting anything from people who said they were going to be there only to find out they were only there as long as they got something from me. Most of all, I guess I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of feeling this way. I am tired of realizing that as a person of color, I don't have the money or the time for the nervous breakdown I deserve. And Lord knows I deserve it. I deserve to have a rest from all of the things that are making me tired. I deserve to be able to fly off to a beach somewhere and just be. But in this time, in this place, in this space, I can't do that. None of us can do that. Because although all of us are tired, we can't afford to do nothing about it. So instead of being tired all the time, I have to do something else. I have to do something that makes me feel less tired. And the only thing I know to do is stop censoring myself. The only thing I know to do is to let it out. And for those of you who know me, right now, you're saying, Lord help us, because Lord only knows what's coming. And that's the weekly rant.
Oh, wow. Well, now.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a bummer rant.
I'm tired, Clinton. You just don't even know. Seriously, last night, I went out to have a beer with a friend of mine and just, you know, kind of relax. I couldn't relax. he even commented to me. He was like, wow, I thought we were just going to like have a beer and chill. I'm like, yeah, but I know because I'm tired. I'm tired of all this crap happening. I'm tired of nobody caring that it's happening. I'm tired that nobody wants to do anything to change it.
Sister, you got no problems because it's only been 100 days.
I know.
We got more years to get through.
Hey. Don't say seven. No. You say seven.
Seven, baby.
No, it's not going to be seven.
Seven.
No, it's not going to be seven. We have three and some change, okay? We have three and some change. That's it.
No.
Seven to me.
One military operation.
No.
Guaranteed seven.
You know what? I can stand on my head for 3.5 years. I can't do it for seven. I can't. Seriously, you want to see that nervous breakdown?
One section of the wall and one military operation.
No.
Guaranteed.
No.
Guaranteed.
No, it's not guaranteed. No. Clinton is wrong, and he is not putting that out in the universe. It is not going to happen. It cannot happen. Okay? Stop it. You're doing the whole, like, end of the world thing over there. Don't do that.
Don't think about stop it. Think about stop and frisk it. That's what you need to think about.
Yeah, so did it. Yeah, did I mention I got pulled over last night?
Think of what's going to be with its national stop and frisk.
Yeah, we're all going to have barcodes on our necks. Seriously, I mean, you know, that's the way this idiot is going.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm tired, Clinton. I'm tired.
So why did you get pulled over last night?
Really? You're just going to put everything on Front Street?
Why not?
Paperwork. That's why I got pulled over. Paperwork. But like I said, it was pleasant that, you know, at least the cop was, you know, a human being. And he actually gave me a break and, you know, and didn't, like, you know, throw me to the ground and put me in a headlock.
Okay?
And
what did he break?
I said he gave me a break. He broke something. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. No, he gave me a break. He was really nice. And completely understanding that, you know, yes, I would love to fix what you're pulling me over for, but that would cost money that I actually don't have right now. And, you know, I'm working on it. I'm trying. I'm getting there. And so, yeah, no, he was actually really, really nice and sweet. And, you know, I got home. So that's all that matters. Well, I got home.
Well, good. Well, speaking about a break, don't take a break from 94.7, because coming up next, it's going to be a Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Sean McCord.
Sean!
This guest is going to be Assistant Commonwealth Attorney Joe Plataria, talking about crime and punishment in Charlottesville.
Ooh.
This has been Homegrown, your show about local art, brought to you by the wonderful Blue Moon Diner. We'd like to thank our guests, Miller Murray Susan and Alice Lehman, from Christ Episcopal Church. And if, I don't know about you guys, but I my day job is downtown. Guess what I'm going to be doing?
He's going to be going to some classical banjo.
I am so going to be going to some classical banjo.
And the women's barbershop. Don't forget that.
That's cool. Barbershop.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just got a mental picture and that was funny.
I think I got the same mental picture. We're just done with
it. I know. We're both sleep deprived. Sorry.
Thank you very much for tuning in. Come back to see us next week. Bye.
Tired of love uninspired. Let's face it, I'm tired. I've been with thousands of men again and again. They promised the moon. They're always coming and going and coming, and always too soon.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.